It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 723, and this is a two-parter with two deals. We've got 3D Deal from Canada, who you'll all know did an internship at the Daily Talk Show, you know, about this time last year. And then we cross over to Deal Takes Photos, a YouTuber, podcaster, photographer, who we've had interactions with online, but it was great to finally meet him and have a chat with him. So this is episode 723 with Dill and Dill.
We've got 3D Dill in the building.
Oh, here he is.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, baby.
Oh, yes. Got the coffee going.
No, be careful.
Yeah, be careful, mate.
What's the time in Canada right now?
10:01 a.m. I woke up about 30 minutes ago.
That's not bad at all.
That'd be nice.
No, not
is it Friday?
It's
yeah,
great.
It's Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Friday yeah. now. It's Friday. I was gonna have a beer, but I figured I just woke up, so I want to keep a balanced diet.
Yeah, appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
mate, what have you been up to?
No balance in what we're doing. Yeah, what are you up to, Dill?
A whole lot of nothing really. Like I'm done school. I can't really go out and apply for new jobs because of this whole isolation thing. So. Kind of laying low, just focusing on cleaning up all my school stuff and finding ways to not go crazy.
Yeah. Are you finding that you could go a bit crazy? Like, is it taking a little bit of a toll? Can you hear me?
He's gone crazy. He's absolutely gone crazy.
Can you hear us still?
He's absolutely lost it.
Yeah,
I can hear you now.
Oh, there we go.
I got you.
Oh, classic.
Are you feeling like from a mental health perspective, out of one from a 1 to 100, how are you feeling?
1 to 100, I'd say I feel like a 90.
Oh, that's
it hasn't
good.
Been. I've tried to make the best of the situation that we've had. Like knowing that it's going to be a long time, I think is, for me anyway, makes it easier to kind of settle in and just. Grind on a bunch of personal projects per se, mm-hmm. rather than not knowing when it's all gonna end. So I don't really mind.
Mm-hmm.
The time
it's windy
off,
as shit where you
I
are.
Kinda,
Dale.
I kind of like
it's windy
it.
As shit.
There is a little bit of wind. Yeah.
Here we're gonna come inside real quick.
Okay, Dale, I do have a quick question. Why are you outside?
That's great.
Because it's.
I liked it. I think you can now go That's through why. different internet now.
Wi-Fi.
Here
now.
We
yes.
go.
Yeah,
yes.
here we go. Just chilling back in. Oh, great.
Here we go. There we go. What's the coffee mug? Is there some significance with the coffee mug?
I got it for free, and it's black, so it matches.
Oh, looks nice.
Legit. Is that a bikies mug? It looks like a motorcycle club or something. 76ers or something.
It's Trek Bicycles, which is an American bike company. Ramble would know it.
Oh yeah, I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, we've got a bike shop just down the street, so I've used that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a Trek bike myself, so.
Yeah, awesome. And how's the 3D printing going? Are you doing any 3D printing?
Not since finishing school. I burned mm-hmm. through about like 8 kilograms of printer filament since finishing school. And it's all back ordered on Amazon, and it's so hard to get because everybody's oh, yeah. buying it now for their 3D printers because they're 3D printing like hair nets for face masks and whatnot for frontline workers, so, which is good because they're getting use, but it's almost mm-hmm. impossible to find material for it now because it's in such
Where
high
is
demand.
Your 3D printer? Where is it? Is it in did you bring it home?
Underneath my desk. Yeah, I brought it home. It's underneath my desk. Covered in cardboard so it doesn't get broken.
And so are you doing much traveling? Yeah, go on, TJ.
I just wanted to, are you living back at home with mum and dad?
Yep, I'm in mum and dad's house now. I'm mm-hmm. out of that little Brilliant. Shoebox in Toronto.
Oh, I mean, that was an underground lair, that thing, wasn't it?
That was a cave.
Oh, go say hi.
Come on.
Is that Michelle?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
It is.
Dally, come say hi.
This is my little sister. This is my mom.
Hi.
And the cat's around here.
Hi, everybody.
Howdy.
I don't know where the cat is.
How you going?
Cat's here.
Oh, where's the cat?
We've got our monster cat, Rosie.
Hey, Rosie. Yeah. Rosie's always liking all our Instagram content. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
She's an Instagram fanatic. She's all around it.
And so how are you keeping busy, Dill?
I've been able to work on like my own personal portfolio mm-hmm. in the time that we've had off, which has been nice. Because it's almost impossible to do during school time just because there's so much work involved in it and you don't want to have a bad portfolio. So I've been able to do that and just find ways to kill time, really. Yeah. Like I got a Skillshare membership because they were doing like 2 months free. And it's really good, actually. I've used that like every single day. Like just a lot of stuff around like photos and video, learning different softwares like Photoshop, Illustrator. I'm already proficient in, but I've used that like a Skillshare to learn more with Premiere Pro and After Effects and XD, which is like a UX software thing.
Yeah, great. How's the thumb going, mate?
Oh yeah, can we get a little look?
It's good. It's recovered for the most part. But if I'm being completely honest, I've had issues with it. Like every now and then it kind of just starts twitching and has a spasm, or it'll just completely cramp up and just stop working altogether.
That's a good little memory. So it's a little reminder of Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of the thumb, right? I get an email. I think Mum just broke the kitchen. I get an email yesterday
from
Alfred Hospital saying, "Can you pay us the rest of your hospital bill?" And I'm like, "I already paid my hospital bill back in October."
Yeah.
And they're like, "No, you didn't. You need to pay us again." I'm like, "I already paid you." So now I got to call the insurance company and figure out what went wrong and where that money went that I paid.
Oh, weird.
How much do you owe?
Like, I was out of nowhere. Pardon?
How much do they want?
They wanted $580.
Oh,
yeah, interesting. And you've already it already was paid. That's strange.
Mm. Yeah, like I didn't have to pay any of it. Insurance was able to cover it, which is a good thing. But still, somewhere along the lines on their end, the money has gotten lost. Or it hasn't been deposited because the insurance company says it's been paid and they're saying it hasn't been paid. So
in the chat, 3D Deal, there's a few people who weren't watching or listening during the 3D Deal era. And so I feel like there was a lot of things that happened in the 4 months that you were interning with us. But the thing that sticks in my mind was the memoir that you released and self-published through Amazon.
Yes.
That was
a lot.
I was wondering, do you have a copy of it? Do you have a copy of
mine? I do.
Could you read us a little bit?
Yeah, I would love for you to read a page.
What page, Josh? What's your lucky number?
Pick a page and I'll read off the page.
Have they got chapters? My eyes are twitching, by the way.
Yeah. Not numbered chapters, but kind of like sections.
Can you read the different, like the section titles or chapter titles? And then we can, based on that, sort of dive in?
Yes. Still have the foreword that you wrote by Josh Johnson.
Great. Oh, great.
Oh, that was great.
That's great. Let me see here. Okay, so there's some curse words in it, so my little sister's gonna have to leave the room.
Okay.
Go on. I'm fine. So part one is values, opportunities, and bullshit. Part two is safe, cozy, and comfortable. Part three is paths, passions, and permission. Part four is fear, change, and confidence.
Let's go with fear, change, and confidence, please.
Yeah.
Within fear, strong. Change, and confidence, you have, so there's one, two, three, there's four subsections, part four, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got do the things that scare you, If you don't move forward, you'll always be in the same place. Craving a challenge and feeling restless, or break up with perfection and focus on yourself. Which one do you want me to dabble
What
with?
Do you think, TJ? The first one.
I just go to the last because I think that's what I just.
I liked the either the first or the last. Okay. Go the first one, I reckon. You always you got to start first. Strong.
Start strong.
I'll do the first one. Okay, so that's a screen grab there. Oh, Tommy, you'll like this one because it starts off. Thank you. It starts off with you. So do the things that scare you. It's worth it. My mate Tommy Jacket asked me recently, Dill, what's the scariest thing you've done in your life? I was sitting in the back seat of his car, driving through regional Victoria. I spent a moment racking my brain trying to think. We'd been talking about our comfort zones and about the first time that we felt we really stepped outside into the real world. I was a little caught off guard, to be honest. I wasn't expecting that kind of a question on an evening drive. I had to answer sooner or later as there were two other people in the car, Mason and Josh. I gave my answer and was surprised that I found it hard to come up with something quickly. I took a while to think about it. Truly, I'm not bullshitting you, it was tough. I analyzed everything that popped into my head right up to that very moment. Then it hit me, all at once, just like a freight train. For the first time in my life, as I sat in the back seat of a right-side drive car in the middle of regional Victoria, someplace I never thought I would end up, I was doing something that truly scared me. It wasn't just that distinct moment. It was the days before and the days that were soon to follow. Moving away from home and living in another country was frankly horrifying. From the moment I stepped into the terminal at Pearson International Airport in Toronto, I felt that fear. Even if it was just a hint, hiding in the pit of my stomach, it was there. I was blinded by the mists of adventure and intrigue without fully realizing what I had embarked upon, up until now. Most people I met along the way, even folks that I sat next to on the plane ride, said that I should be proud of where I was and what I was doing. And hell, they didn't even know my full story. I had traveler's high, that much was for sure. When Tommy asked that question, the fog settled in front of my face and I could see clearly. I was living in a new country on another side of the planet with guys that I had met somehow through the internet, all because I heard them on a podcast with the guy who directed a movie, which ultimately ended up changing my life after a serious bout of anxiety. It is strange how the world works. Despite all that, I can tell you with confidence that it's absolutely worth it, without a doubt. Every single second that I've been here, every road I've approached with apprehension, every turn in the path or shadow I walk past has been worth it. I can't recommend it enough. If you're young, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Don't waste it on a minimum wage job, paying off an education that's way too overpriced and expensive. Don't neglect the bills and education, but you can't let them control you. Go out and see the world and see how other people live their lives. Yeah. So that's a bit of it.
That was,
love that.
That's so good, Dill. Yeah. You read it so well. It gave me chills.
Thank you. I haven't read out loud in a long time, so I'm glad that went over well.
How does it feel reading back that story?
It feels strange because I can remember specifically the times when I was writing it, as well as when, like the experiences that we were having that I was writing about. I can remember those. Like that was us driving back from Leeton.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We're driving a drug run.
We're doing a drug run. It was pretty daring.
Yeah.
That was great fun. Think about that time. We drove to New South Wales. The big strawberry. What a time. Like, to think about.
It's crazy.
What's happened since. I'm just chatting to you on Insta and just going, holy shit, you were here. It was a year ago that you were here, Dill. The amount of stuff that's changed in 1 year. Maybe you say that every year. But I feel like this has been a big
shift. I feel like you say that every year, but it's just relevant. It's all relative, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot has shifted.
Are you still writing, Dill?
I was writing my thesis, which took a lot of time, but nothing creatively since that, no.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
do you have to be creative for a thesis? Like, is it, or is it just laborsome?
No, you have to be meticulous and correct a lot. You have to do like this thing's like basically 200 pages of just research and note taking and sends, and it's quite frankly, it's very annoying. It's awful.
Yeah. And so now that you're, so I mean, we spoke about this time, you know, the 8 months or whatever you had before it was all over.
Yeah.
Is it all done now? Is this it?
Yeah, basically. Like if I were to look forward on the horizon of my life, it's kind of just an empty ocean, but it's all covered in fog. So there's a bunch of stuff out there, but I don't really know what it is. Like I can't see to it, especially right now.
Yeah.
So it's like it's tricky, but I'm hopeful that something turns around. Like a year ago today, right now, I was getting ready to drive to the airport to get on the plane to fly to Vancouver.
Yeah, wow.
Which
wow.
Is
remember the goose?
Yeah.
The goose that
flew
into the... Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awful. That sucked.
Yeah, it required a bit of maintenance on the engine, which saw some delays. And so, how would you describe the feeling right now? Is it you talk about the fog? Is it an uncertainty? Is it an excitement?
I think it's a bit of both, because this whole isolation thing has definitely caused a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm excited to be done school. Like for the first time in my life, there's no going back to school in September for us here in Canada. Mm-hmm. Like I won't be going back into an education system, at least for the next at least 5 years. So there's that excitement of, okay, like what's going to happen next? Where am I going to go? But then again, there's also that uncertainty, like, will I be able to get a job? Will I be able to pay off the student debt that I have incurred? Will I be able to find a job that I like first and foremost? So like I'd say there's an equal mix of both uncertainty and excitement, but also I think it's kind of the same thing with the Australia trip, is you have to, like, even when I cut my thumb, it sucked, but we were able for the most part to make the best of that situation and not really let it hold a lot of things back. So I'm going to try and carry the same principles off with this situation of, even though we're in isolation and there's limited stuff you can do, there's still stuff from a remote act that can be done. So
we get a great video out of your thumb. We got a great piece of content.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Are any of your mates got jobs? Like, I mean, not that you know where you can even go and get one at the moment, based on,
I mean, design related? No. My sister works at the grocery store up the street, and she goes to work like every day or every other day. But most of my friends don't have jobs now, because they all quit their jobs back in September to come back to school. And now that this whole isolation thing's in place, all non-essential businesses here are closed, and like no one's hiring, and no one's going to sit through even a social distanced interview with you more than anything. So everyone's kind of just on pause for now until something gets sorted out.
I had a couple of late nights a while back in the office, and I was thinking of you and the fact that you spent, you know, 4 months sleeping in the office. Was it harder than you made it out to be? Was it a hard experience for you?
I'd say the first 3 days the office, like sleeping at the office, were tricky, because there was all these weird sounds and I couldn't tell if like a junkie was going to break in. having the garbage taken out from Jinda Thai across the street when it's like 5:30 in the morning and it's just a crash of bottles scared the crap out of me the first time that happened. Afterwards though, I kind of got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't really bother me. Mm-hmm. Like I look back at it now and I think, how did I go that long sleeping on that little like 2-inch mattress thing? But
yeah,
I mean, it's not exactly like an ideal situation, but we made it work for the time that it was there. I know I tried to be as unobtrusive as possible, but I mean, made it work.
Yeah,
I got to sleep. Yeah, that's important.
It's. I mean, it was our workplace, and you did manage to be unintrusive for someone who was living there. I stayed there a couple of months ago for a night. No, I wasn't in the doghouse. I just wanted to get up early and do some editing in the office. But no, I did. There is the noises, right? It's like paper thin walls, but it's the dump truck. It was like 3 a.m. That bottle, fucking that bottle thing. George is at the office now, and he's going to put in a bit of light work onto that 2-inch mattress tonight. He's gonna get some Z's on that thing. So it's still getting a run, Dill. Still getting a run.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. And like, yeah, you get the train at night too. The train really early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Dill, in the comments, Casey's asking what the title of that book is that you wrote and how can people find it?
The title of the book is I'm Still Figuring It Out, and it's available on American, Australian, and Canadian Amazon, and the UK, I think, as well.
I still love that cover. It's great.
You did such a great job with it. And I also want to say, if you've all the Gronks who are listening, if you have the Daily Talk Show hoodie, Dill designed the logo. Have you seen so many people? Yeah, there you go. Seeing so many more people with the hoodies and shit. Are you loving it?
It's the coolest thing ever to think that like this little, like I was thinking about that last night, Josh, how we were tweaking the vector on like the final days before we finished it and like just changing the alignment and stuff. And this little vector on my laptop is now being worn by like, I don't even know, well over 100 people, surely.
Yeah, definitely.
All across the world. Like it blows my mind. It's weird to comprehend. It really is.
It's so cool.
How good is it that Matt Diavella, who you were talking about, right, the filmmaker, now he's got one.
Yeah.
And he's wearing Dill's logo.
That's wild. I tell myself, if I'm having a bad day, I'm like, Matt Diavella has a hoodie with artwork that you created on it in his closet right now. So then that just cheers me up.
Yeah.
Have you been watching any Netflix or have any recommendations of stuff that you've been binging?
Oh. Ozark. I was thoroughly impressed. Ozark was really good. Waco, which is like a 6-episode miniseries on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix in Canada. I don't know if it is there in Australia. Was really well done. Talks about like the Waco Branch Davidian situation in like the mid-90s, I think it was. And it's great because it's unbiased between the FBI and the Branch Davidians. That was really good. Mom and I are watching this show called The 100 right now, which started off really weak, but it's it's kind of picked up. So I'm willing to tolerate.
Yeah. What happened?
It was everything you would expect from like a typical low budget teenage TV series, just like cheesy acting, sex sells, and just like unnecessary. No, because it wasn't even nice. It was unnecessary.
What does that mean? What does unnecessary sex look like?
Like they're in a dropship going down to Earth, and this girl's just like dressed scantily and like giving like sexy eyes to some black guy across the dropship that they're in. And like the moment that they crash land onto this nuclear, no spoilers, but the moment that they crash land this nuclear wasteland of Earth, they're like just trying to go at it. I'm like, oh, that's just a bit, I don't know.
Really? Yeah, I mean, do you think you're maybe a little bit jealous?
No, he was watching it with his mom. Come on.
Yeah, did Michelle ruin your vibe?
Watching it with my mom. I can't be like, just get it, get it.
Get it.
Yeah. Because I've seen you do that before. That's your famous line. Get it. But, get at it.
But yeah, no, it's, yeah, I found it unnecessary, and that's what kind of turned me off from it for the first little bit. I'm like,
yeah.
But then, like, episodes later, they had, like, meaningful sex. I was like, oh, there you go. See, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Hey, Gil, have you heard Mason's Catch Cry? I don't know if it's you, but maybe, no, maybe we don't go there. It's,
which, yeah.
Oh, no, let's go there. You brought it up.
I mean, I don't, I, yeah, I mean, you can, but you, I mean, your mum's in the room.
Yeah, I know, that's
it's probably
it's interesting. I think with the tiredness of us all, it's you took that really seriously, Sebs. Look, no, you can look, it's your choice.
Look,
you know, you're an adult. You make your own choices now.
So what is the catch cry, Sebs?
What is the catch cry?
You want me to go into it? What, real men eat ass?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
DJ's lost it.
Yeah.
I do agree with you.
It's getting to that time.
I'm glad, mate. Yeah, great.
We'll have Christian Hull on any minute. Dill, yeah. Thanks, mate, for coming on. It's good to see you doing well. Any other final updates, anything else that you can share? I feel like... I'm feeling all nostalgic.
Do you have any announcements?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're always good at announcements.
What are you teasing at the moment?
Main announcement is that I'm still alive, really. Like, I've managed to live through the final year of school.
Yeah.
No real announcements yet. I want to use this isolation quarantine time to work on new creative projects. So I'll tease that, I guess. Life updates. There's no kids that I'm aware of.
Well, that's good.
Due anytime.
Mom's sitting right next to me, and she just gave me this look of. She's like, "What are you talking about?"
I feel like
yeah, no, that's it was like meaningful. I miss you guys a lot. I miss Australia a lot.
Just meaningful. Yeah.
None of that spaceship sex or whatever, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, mate. Just meaningful.
Exactly. All right.
Dill, I feel like you are going to be a part of our lives another in not too long. Like, I'm not this year because it's but I feel like you're just a part of the family. I feel like like you said, Josh, nostalgic. We had such a good time over 4 months, and you became a real sort of asset of our team and a friend, and so even though you're
it feels away, easy, mate. Doesn't it? Like, there's something nice and so just easy about just chatting. And I guess we went through a lot. We spent a lot of hours. You know, you were there at the of the biggest, you know, shifts in our lives. You know, getting the new studio and all that stuff, and going, you know, trying to work out our business. It's really cool.
Yeah, it was. No, it was an amazing experience. Like, I learned more. I think I learned more about what I didn't know about myself than anything else. Like, I learned more of, like, the shortcomings and the shortfalls that I had, which made me want to improve upon them more. So, and plus that's being awesome. Around you guys all the time was awesome.
Awesome, Dill. Mate, send love to your whole family. And let's catch up offline in the next few days as we're starting to decompress.
Once you guys get some sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, mate, I'll be sleeping.
Awesome, mate. Have a good one.
See you, mate.
Awesome. Love you,
buddy.
Miss you guys.
See ya.
See you, mate.
Miss you. Bye.
Four hours to go. It's getting up. Oh. Bit of Conor McGregor, you know? Oh, here he is.
Here he is.
What's up, guys?
Dill takes photos. Mate,
He dabbles. How are you? I'm great. Good, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
I'm very pumped about this. I feel like from Insta stories to YouTube Live, I feel like this is a progression in our relationship, and I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's weird. We've been talking about this for so long, haven't we? And it's just like, now it's a reality. Here we are.
And so, Dill, You've been doing your own podcast since ISO. How many episodes have you guys gotten up to?
We are on, did 46 today, 46 in a row.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And solid. So you've got your mate Ryan in another part of, is he in the UK? Yeah. How did it all come about?
Yeah, in London. I'm based in Belfast. I'm obviously South African, not Belfast born and bred, but he's over in London and we've wanted to do it for so long and we love the idea of like a radio show. So that's how I found you guys like a year ago, was trying to find someone that was doing a podcast that was like a radio show. And I found yours and I was like, dude, these guys are currently doing it and it's awesome. So you guys have been a huge inspiration for us just even putting off a finger and starting our own one.
That's so
dude,
cool.
Dude, I feel like you got to 40 really quickly. I mean,
40 days.
I feel, because you've had another. You're doing daily. You are doing daily.
Daily, yeah, yeah, one a day, yeah. So it has got there quite quick. It's I think it's to do with the fact that we're all locked in our house. It was definitely the driver to actually going ahead and you know, pulling the trigger and doing it. But yeah, it's mad. We'll hit 50. On Monday or Tuesday or something like that.
And so but you're actually, candy. So you you're a real slashy. You're sort of that, like you you take photos, you design, you do video, you do podcasting. Has that been something that you've done intentionally, or do you struggle with the whole slashy thing? Where do you fit?
I've never heard that phrase before. That's quite a cool way of putting it. Really? I've always said, I'm like, yeah, I always say, like, my friends say I'm a bit of a sprayer, I guess, like, because I'm riding bikes. That's kind of the way I do things. But I've never really been about details. So I'm more just about getting stuff done. So I've always been pretty good at most things, but not a master of any of it. So yeah, that's kind of just been the nature of me, I think.
You're not a master, you've got, like, your photos are absolutely exceptional. And your video skills, I mean, you've got, like, a high level. If you don't think you're good at them, if you don't think you're, like, a master at that, you're fucking proficient at a shitload. That's really annoying, to be honest. Absolutely annoying.
I think I've always kind of taken the approach of if I'm not going into it, whether it's a job or a video for myself, if I'm not going into it shitting myself a little bit, I feel like I'm not pushing myself. So I've always put the idea or the story in the forefront. I've always wanted that to be the thing that people watch rather than the technique or the camera or the it's about, like, what are you watching? Are you enjoying it? What are you taking away? So maybe I just don't think about that stuff as much as other people would. And that's why I maybe just don't value it or value my own ability. But I always just see everything that I've done wrong. When I watch stuff, I'm like, wow, you just cocked that up and that up and things like that. So
I feel like you've got some... go, TJ.
No, I was just going to say, surely you've been able to tame that voice, because you have been creating content for a bunch of time. Are you sort of thinking it doesn't go, but you manage to ignore?
Yeah. I think you get a bit more comfortable with it, don't you? You, like, you kind of use it as, like, your driver. It sort of feeds it feeds the creativity. It's a bit that makes me want to try something new or push to shoot something a little bit differently. But yeah, I've been doing, I was a designer for so long. So I've been, like, graphic design for, like, been 15, 16 years, and photo and video is just stuff I did in the background and alongside it. And it came from needing photos for designs and not being able to access them. And then just say, well, if I just take the photo myself, like, I could just use that. So that's what started getting me to push it in a more professional way.
When I think of you, Dill, I think about keyless cars. Cause I remember a story that involved some keys. Because we love a good client fuck up story, or just when anything goes bad. Can you remind me of what happened with the cars, the keys?
Oh man, well, we were shooting some stuff for the electric board in Ireland, and they gave us a really, really cool e-golf. And they were like, there you go, e-golf, crack on, do what you need, make a video, a vlog style video over like a week about you driving the car. So I was like, oh, do you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tie this in with a shoot that I'm doing for another client, and I'll drive the e-golf with me. So I had my buddy Mark with me, and we went up, and I didn't realize like how bad I am as a driver when it comes to like using fuel efficiently, because the e-golf was fully electric, and like the north of Ireland is not equipped for electric cars the way you really need it to be at the minute. So we were like, I definitely needed like two more charge stations, and I didn't have them. So we drove out to the middle of the sticks, the middle of the countryside, so there's nothing about, to do this other shoot, rocked up, and we had 12% of the battery left on this Golf, because I had just been like sending it up the road. So
did you consider
to, like,
this at the time? Were you thinking to yourself, like, I mean, it's just...
There was a point where I was like, I'm going to have to charge this at the other client job. I'm going to have to ask if I can do this. And I was looking at Mark, and I was like, dude, we're 40% battery here. I feel like we're going to be pushing a car back. And they were like, oh, no, it'll be fine. Got it over to this place. And I pitched up at this other client job that I was doing, like an outdoor activity center. And we pitched up, and they were like, oh, hi, Dylan. Nice to meet you. I was like, yeah, you too. Quick question. Can I plug my car into your wall to charge it? And I was like, this is the worst start to a job ever. And they were like, yeah, why? And then I had to give them the whole story. So then there I am with this like extension lead, plugging it in, like removing their fan blown from their office and plugging my car into it. And it was like a trickle charger thing. So it takes like an eternity to get any power into this. And I was watching it go up like at a fraction of a second. So I had to plug it in there, and I thought, that'll be grand. Left that charging. We spent about 3 hours there filming. I thought that'll be enough to get us back. So when we finished up, I chucked everything into this box, gave it to Mark, said, yo, stick that in the car. But I put everything that was on my person into this box, including the keys, and I gave it to Mark. And he walked off, and he put the thing in the car and closed the boot, turned to walk to me, and then the car went locked. And he thought, Dill's locked the car. Brilliant. And I looked at him and went, did you lock that car? And he's like, no, I haven't got the keys. And then I was like, dude, the keys are in the car. No. And he was like, you're joking me. So two of us are looking in the boot of this car, and the keys are there, but the car's still charging. So we can't get into it. The keys are sitting there. It's a brand new, like, 30,000 pound Golf or something. And it's just in the middle of nowhere, plugged into a like a porta cabin building. Like just trickling out their
extension
their
cord.
They're like,
it? That's great. Yeah.
Like the thing you charge a lawnmower with, that kind of idea. And I was like, oh my god, this is the worst. It was the most embarrassing situation, because in Northern Ireland you've got like, you know, like you guys have got bogans, like they've got like real country bumpkins out here, and these are like proper tractor driving. Like, and they're going, oh, we'll break into it. We'll, they're telling me how they can remove the window and how they can jimmy the door open. And I was like, this is a 30 grand Golf. Just no one touch it. No one go near it. It was so stressful. So it was, and it just got worse and worse. We ended up having to convince a bus driver to let us get a bus, like a 2 hour bus journey back. And of course we had no money apart from our Apple Pay on our phones, because the wallets and everything were in the car. So you had to bus it all the way back to Belfast. Bus driver didn't trust us. We had to go in and pay for the ticket on Apple Pay inside, because they don't take cards on buses. It was a palaver. And then I had to get back and phone the guys in Dublin and say to them, "Can you? I've be honest here, guys. I fucked it. Could you help?" So they had to send one of their guys to drive the 2.5 hour drive from Dublin to Belfast at like 11 o'clock at night to deliver me the spare key. He just knocked on my door, was pissing with rain. I opened it, it was like a horror film. Just this man standing there in a coat with a key. I believe this is for you. Thanks. And then he just turned around and drove 2.5 hours home, just thinking, twat.
Oh.
That was a
brand deal. I assume that they didn't send the money if you were owed any.
Do you know what? Oddly, they actually were like, yeah, that Golf, I blamed it on the Golf. Yeah, it shouldn't have locked, in my opinion, because the keys were in the car. So I didn't understand why it locked. And then they actually gave me another car to drive around. And they did pay eventually.
Wow.
I don't know how. I must have wormed my way around it and been like, oh, can you believe that Golf? Ugh, should never have done that. Oh. But they, I mean, were, the smarter they were okay the car, with it.
The smarter the car, the riskier it is. Like, I mean, I haven't... Our car, my car at the moment will be quite hard, but I had a Beamer. And I had one key. I bought this fucking thing with one key. What an idiot. And I did the same thing. I locked, because I got in the habit of taking the key out, pressing the button as I opened the door. And for some reason, I'd left the key in there and I closed it behind me and it locked. I was like, oh my fucking God, I've locked the only key in this BMW. It's costing me fucking $700 a month. This is outrageous anyway. And I've bloody financed this thing. I'm 20, thinking I'm a sick dog, and
it had red leather seats, didn't there's it?
It had red leather,
tasty.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. Yeah. Had a TV in there, deal. You want to date me yet or what?
Jesus.
DVD player.
Well, yeah, I think I'd turn around immediately. Is there a camera kit up to that TV? That's the question.
Yeah, well, reverse camera, but so what I did was, there's something called the RACV, roadside assist, in Australia, where you can call and they come help poor bastards that have, you know, gone flat batteries or run out of petrol or, you know, all that shit. And
yeah,
this was helping a miracle. I got a guy who came out and he said, what's up? And I said, lock me key in the car, don't have a spare. And he goes, no worries. Literally last weekend, I did a course on how to get into these things. Like, it was basically like a locksmith, you know, like a locksmith for cars. He goes, yeah, no worries. Goes around to the boot, undoes my number plate, and shorts with like electricity current, shorts the back, and it goes, pops the boot, and I climbed through and got the key. Like, and it was free because you pay the $80 a month to get this service.
Yeah.
It was like, if you got anyone else, they'd be like, yeah, get someone to come.
Mm-hmm.
Get someone to come.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Throw a brick through the window or something. That's what happened.
Yeah. You do like a bunch of client work. How's client work sort of been impacted by all this COVID-19 stuff?
It's been like huge impact really early on. Like 80% of the stuff that I was shooting has been postponed. Nothing's been cancelled, but it's just been pushed a few, like, well, whenever it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. But I think because of my commercial background, I worked in e-commerce, like as a designer and photographer. So I was able to pivot a little bit of what I was doing and maybe just offer alternative services for how we did stuff and what we were doing. So I was kind of okay with it. But to be honest, when it all happened, I just looked at my wife and said to her, do you know what? Let's just treat this like a holiday. So I was just like, let's expect nothing to come from it and just try to enjoy the time. But today was the first day I was actually doing a shoot. So I went out and did which I don't normally do property stuff, but I just had some people need some property videos filmed and photographed. So that was the first day. But it was this very weird, like, everyone purposefully standing 2 or 3 meters away from each other, you know, like, oh, really? Going like this through doorways. Can you stand in that room so I can walk into this room? It was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
Was it hard going from, you know, the holiday vibe to going back into work?
Very, very difficult. I was actually just chatting with my mate Ryan, who I do the podcast with, and I was like, dude, I was about half an hour into filming this, and I was just like, I can't be bothered. I cannot be bothered with this. This is just like, I just want to go. I'm wearing jeans and a belt today, and I'm not feeling this. I just want to go home, put on my sweatpants, and just lie down somewhere and vegetate. It's been very tricky to, I think it's going to get harder to go back to stuff as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, how long you've been in veggie pants?
I was
listening to the word vegetate. You said to vegetate, and I thought,
yeah,
I haven't heard that word used to just like vegetate, to just
veg
back.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, just to lie back out. And do absolutely nothing. Yeah. So like, we've been vegging out now. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, Dill, I was just going to say, someone in the comments has just said They love your accent. They can't tell if it's Australian or Irish. You know, it's a bit of a blend. You said you're from South Africa.
I'm from Cape Town. Well, I say Cape Town because I'm actually from Johannesburg, but Cape Town sounds cooler. So I just say Cape Town. Joburg's a bit of a shithole. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm from Cape Town. But I live in Northern Ireland, and I've lived here for like almost 20 years. So I've got this really messed up like accent that people always say, are you Canadian or Australian first? And I'm like, neither. South African.
Yeah.
But I've been here a year longer. So I'm kind of like in no man's land because no one will have me. I'm neither South African or Irish.
Was it last year that you had your big Californian trip?
Yeah. God, yeah. In 2019, what a year. What a great year. You know, you're allowed to leave your house. You're allowed to see friends. You could travel. Whereas like, yeah, I went to California for 3 weeks. Did Toronto as well at the very beginning of the year for like a week, and then 3 weeks in California. It was freaking amazing, man. So good. First time to the southern part of California. I'd been to like the north of it, but that was the first time there. It was brilliant.
Have you got two kids or... Or one kid.
Two kids, yeah.
Two kids. And so what was the...
6-year-old and an 8-year-old.
And so what was the experience like traveling with the whole fam?
Tough. It was tough. I do a lot of traveling by myself. And I've spent like years traveling with work, always by myself. And you know when like you think something's stressful, then you take a kid with you and your wife, and you're like, you have to worry about everybody. You're like... Oh, that bit in the airport where you sit for 3 hours is fine when you're by yourself because you can just close your eyes and lie there. But when you've got kids going, can I have? And your wife's like, will you please just take them anywhere but here? So that was hell of a difficult. Like, but at the same time, you know yourselves, it takes something that is kind of mundane and they just bring it to a whole different light, just simple stuff. You know, we were able to enjoy like Disneyland with them so much because you use them as an excuse to do it all. You know, I would normally get on this like, you know, this elephant ride, but I'm doing it for my kid. And really, you're like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I feel like you're so really generous with how much you share of your family. What does your wife think of what you do?
She loves it. There's a lot of outtakes with you where you hear her going, don't film me. There's a lot of, she hates me filming her, but like I have to try and get her involved. I used to have the kids in it a lot and they were a big feature of my Instagram stories really early on, but then just had a couple of weird moments with some odd people. So I started trying to remove them from as much as I could, but to be honest,
is it on like YouTube where was the weirdness?
Oh, Instagram, just like odd, you know, when like people meet you and like they'll meet me in the street and I've no idea who they are. And they'll be like, how's Noah? Did he get that thing from school? And I was like, holy shit, I am maybe oversharing here. And then I had a guy stop me actually outside the school once. And he was like, oh, your kids go here then, do they? And I was like, holy shit,
oh no,
get away from me. So that's the bit. They're also at that age now where they're aware of it. So I kind of gave them the choice. And I was like, look, if you want to be in the videos, you can. If you don't want to be, you don't have to be. So they can't, but they can't give me a definitive answer. For God's sake, 6-year-old and 8-year-old, give me an answer. And they're like, oh, not today. I'm like, yesterday you were game. And today you're not involved. So it's been a bit tricky.
Mixed messages.
I don't know. Yeah, they need a manager of those two. Ridiculous.
Do you think you'll be able to keep up the daily content outside of ISO? Have you thought about that?
I don't know if we'll do it. I don't know if we'll do it daily because I do daily Instagram stories and I've done them like since Instagram, almost pretty much since Instagram released stories.
Yeah.
And I've done them and they're all filmed and edited. And then I do a weekly YouTube video on top and then all my client work. So I think what Ryan and I want to do with the Over and Out show is to bring it to like two days a week maybe and produce it more because we love the idea of the podcast, but what we wanted it to become is more of a show. I'm a big fan of Good Mythical Morning. I don't know if you guys watch that.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
And I've just always loved, how they've made that show. And I've always wanted to like take a lot of inspiration from that. So I think we're going to maybe dump, like, take down the days, but produce the thing a bit better.
Yeah, great.
I could imagine it. You got that vibe. You got that vibe. Out of Rhett and Link? Which one are you? Like, if you know, looking at the combo.
I'm probably more Rhett, I'd say. Yeah,
a bit grungy.
I would have gone Rhett too. Because there's elements of each of them, and like Ryan and I, like, you know yourselves with the three of you guys, how you all bounce off each other. There's like I watch it back sometimes. The first couple I watch back, and I said to my wife, "Oh my god, I fidget continually. Like, why am I moving so much?" Ryan just sits there like a living corpse the whole time, like hardly ever moves. And I'm just like playing with stuff and scratching my eye, and I've like walked out of the shots, and I'm just like, I can't sit still. So that bit was really weird. The first five or six episodes, watching it back, going like, "Wow, that's." And because the way we produce it, a lot of what we wanted early on was, we wanted to produce it to a high standard, and we wanted it to feel like we're in the same room. So we wanted the interactivity to be really good, so that it felt natural visually as well as, you know, through the audio. And I think that's, we've achieved that, and we had to interact through the screen and pass stuff, and it just makes it funnier and more entertaining to do, I think, for us.
It definitely ups the production value of it. It's really enjoyable to watch. What have you learned about collaboration? So you had the podcast with Mark, now you're doing the stuff with Ryan. What's the what's your relationship with collaboration?
Mark and I had a real good one with our podcast at the MD show, but it was just too difficult to get our schedules aligned. Whereas just because we work in such different areas, but Ryan and I do very similar work, and our time frame, we own a lot of our own time. So that's why we were able to make this work. And it just comes from a different place, the conversation. But I've learned that we also, Ryan and I share the workload of producing our podcast together, which is quite cool. Where in the other one with Mark, I did like pretty much all the production. So it's been quite nice being able to rely on someone. And it's been great for those days where you just can't be bothered. You know, when you just get up and you think, yeah, I quit. I'm done with this. No one gives a shit. I don't give a shit. My wife doesn't even listen to it. I quit. And then he's messaging me going, podcast. And I'm like, fuck, do I have to? It's like a parent dragging you to school. So that's been quite nice. And I think that works both ways. I think that's been one of the nicest takeaways from it.
That's awesome.
I mean, I feel like that is the thing, like what you just explained there is a version that we've experienced over seven, at least a bunch of times within 700 episodes. And it's like, I'm constantly trying to work out why you as in us or anyone lands on something and continues to do it. And there's a bunch of stuff, right? It's sort of fits your values, it works timing wise, all these things. But I feel like there's a bit there that's like the unexplainable. I don't know if you feel that too, as to why you've landed on nearly 50 episodes with your mate. It's like, don't you think it's a bit weird?
I know.
It's like,
it's more weird because Ryan lives in London and I know him from Instagram. So like, it's even weirder there. It's just two men in their late 30s with nothing better to do than talk to each other on the phone and record it for the whole world to hear. And it's like, it's just weird. Like we became friends through Instagram, and then he got me on a job, like doing like social media content. So then I just rocked up and we met each other, and it was kind of like if you're on Tinder or something. It was like, we'd been on a dating app. We'd done all the small talk. You know, we walked in, and I was like, all right, what's happening? Let's crack on with this relationship. Oh, we've already learned everything for a year of chat. And then like, I'll like go over to London just to see him, just to hang out, stay with him and his wife. And we've just all become friends through that. So it's odd because I talk to him every day, even if we weren't doing a podcast. I'll just like, while we're working, we'll have headphones on, just complaining about the world and like, you know, asking advice and stuff. And then the other day I came down all pumped, and you guys are probably like this as well. when you talk to each other. Someone said to me years ago, it takes two people to make a shit idea go into production. And like that literally sums up what Ryan and I
the daily
do.
Talk show.
Like I can exactly. And now there's three of you. And it's like like I came down saying, we're gonna do merch, and my wife's going, not another thing. Why? She's like, to who? The 12 people that listen every day. I'm like, yeah, there's 12 people want a t-shirt. So it's like, and she doesn't get it. She's like, why? And I was like, well, I don't know. I just said to her, I'm a dreamer. And I think if you don't allow yourself to dream, you're never going to know if it's going to succeed. We might bomb after 100 episodes. It might become something. It might turn into something else. But like, you never know. I mean, you guys never started yours thinking it was going to become such a prolific thing. And now look at it.
Yeah, that's a nice pump up thing to say. Yeah, yeah. 3:30. That's really that's a good pump up.
That made me feel good. No, but yeah. To be honest, that's like what you're saying about Josh and I used to speak on the phone so much, mm-hmm. and
now we couldn't think of anything exactly worse, could we?
Just yeah, to be honest, we do a show together, but we just channel it in. It's got to start in some.
It's organic, right? You've got to actually, got to have a genuine interest in the person, which then I think podcasting is this weird format. I'm really interested in seeing what happens over the next 10 years with, especially I guess, more and more sort of friendships like what you're describing with Ryan, where it's just like, oh, you know what? Like, I don't have to be limited to a geographical, limitation. I can actually make friends with some, like my perfect friend anywhere, in the world. It's really cool.
Yeah, I know it is. And it's and like, I loved your podcast when I started because I bought into that. It took a few episodes to get used to the characters. And I think at first, those first few episodes, people invested. And it's like it needs a disclaimer going, just give us 5 episodes till you understand us. Because I don't know, I messaged you guys pretty early on and I was like, you remind me of Ricky Gervais and Carl Pilkington sometimes. And I think it's just like,
and now
it's
now
Josh,
even more
like
so
dryness. It's just weird, yeah, like head like a fucking orange. But it's like it's
is that a quote? I hope that's a quote, like, not just you.
Oh, that's
you
a quote. Oh, yeah, it's not a fact. No,
that's okay.
But it's like, I just like, it was like the dryness with the energy. And I think that's, and like, I joked early on, even with the one with Mark, like we kept like doing stuff and needing to reference it. And we were like, fuck, we need a 97 on here. Because we've got no one to help us reference and keep us on track. And like, Ryan and I get shit wrong. So many facts incorrect. And we'll just like, then like the next day it's like, here, just to correct you on everything we got wrong. And I'm like, God, you can see how like Mason being on there just helps with a lot of that stuff.
Well, yeah,
and now Mason, you're like a part of it. Like
That was a big thing, was closing the loop. Like back in the day when we didn't have Mr. 97, it was very much like, oh fuck, you know that thing I said. And a lot of the times it will be our partners who will do the correcting based on, hey, that story, that you completely butchered that story. But I mean, that's what podcasting's all about,
yeah. It's just elaboration, isn't it? Most of it's a lie.
Exactly.
I'll tell stuff about like my childhood and my dad's like, that never happened. And I'm like, yeah, but that's how I remember it, and that's how I'm going to share it with the world. Otherwise it's really, really boring. And it's like, it's funny, but like your whole podcast has been incredible to like to watch and listen. And I don't listen every day because I do believe like daily stuff is so hard to keep track of, but doing it every day means you can tap in and out and pick up on bits and be, and then sometimes I'll be like, what the hell are they talking about? And I'll have to try and like go back a few episodes and work it out. But like, it's been cool. Like even just getting to chat the three of you and get to know you is a bit over Instagram. And then also 3D Dill, like the weird, just cause we've got a name that's like sort of similar. Yeah. It's like I've become like mates with him on Instagram, and like I was going up to Toronto until this whole COVID thing happened, and I'd message him being like, yo, well, let's hang out. And like I'd like video chat with him, and my wife's like, who is this guy? I'm like, he is a guy that was on a show with these guys that all live in other parts of the world, and none of us know each other, but we just video chat and send it's madness. It's social media is it's insane for that
it's stuff. So cool. Dill, mate, thanks so much for for jumping on.
You're the king of internet friends, I think.
I love it.
Yeah, social butterfly of the internet. How about that?
Put it in your bio.
Thanks so much for having me on, dudes. It's been like appreciated. Like it means a lot. So
it's so cool. Awesome. Thanks so much, Jill. Have a good one, mate.